1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News, the Iowa caucuses. I'm Chuck Sievertson. ABC News projects, based on entrance polls, that former President Trump will win the Iowa Republican caucuses. No indication who's second, Nikki Haley or Ron DeSantis. Preliminary Iowa exit polling, ABC's Andy Field.
The poll showing 88% of Republican Iowa voters consider themselves conservative. They told pollsters their top issues this year were immigration and the economy. Foreign policy and abortion far behind. The biggest number, 65% of Iowa Republicans say Joe Biden did not win in 2020. About the same number saying Donald Trump would still be fit for office even if he's convicted of a crime.
Once criticizing Mr. Trump as a rival for the Republican nomination, now endorsing him, North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum.
He's the person that is the can lead this country in the right direction on the economy, on energy, national security, and I think you're going to see that come through loud and clear tonight.
This is ABC News. Two retired New York City police officers were honored for saving Martin Luther King Jr.'s childhood home from an attempted arson attack last month. Kenneth and Axel Dodson were vacationing in Atlanta at the time. They chased the suspected arsonist and held her until police were able to make an arrest. Axel said he was honored to do his part in protecting the home.
We're just happy that a national site monument was able to stay where it's at. And, you know, we can all still enjoy it for years to come.
The woman now faces charges of arson and interfering with government property. Officials in Wyoming's Bridger-Teton National Forest report a skier died in an avalanche yesterday. The Avalanche Center at the park says it happened in Prater Canyon. Avalanche experts urge backcountry skiers to stay away from steep slopes because of the extraordinary danger that exists right now. They say the snowpack will eventually stabilize a few days from now. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Her name is Pam Yonke, but you can just call the host of the Midwest Farm Report, the Fabulous Farm Babe.
That's right, and the Fabulous Farm Babe is now part of the Civic Media team on your local station, WGBW 1590 AM 97.9 FM in Green Bay. Here's show host Todd Alba with the announcement.
She is a broadcast legend. Doesn't matter whether you're a farm person, ag person, a producer, or just a good old Wisconsinite or a Packer fan. Pam Yonke, welcome to Civic Media.
My pleasure, my pleasure. Yeah, lifelong Wisconsinite. I grew up on a small dairy farm in northeast Wisconsin, O'Connell County. Stop and think about the work being done 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to make sure that you and I are the best fed in the world.
Join the Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke on WGBW 1590 AM 97.9 FM in Green Bay.
Your Midwest Farm Report, weekdays from 5 until 6 a.m. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Tens of thousands of people in Wisconsin have had to endure the coldest weather of the winter so far without power to heat their homes and businesses. Most of the outages are in southeast Wisconsin, where We Energy says it expects to have all the power back on by midday Tuesday. Arctic air is forecasted to keep highs in the single digits through Tuesday. A bipartisan bill would decriminalize having up to 14 grams of marijuana. Under the bill, anyone with less than 14 grams would not face criminal charges but would have to pay a $100 fine. It would also lower the penalties for being caught a second time. Several Wisconsin cities have already decriminalized possessing small amounts of marijuana. Assembly Republicans introduced a bill to legalize medical marijuana last week. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Packers with another win in Dallas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers with a huge upset win over the Cowboys, 48-32. It's the sixth time in a row the Packers have won in the Cowboys Stadium, including Super Bowl 45. They led 27-7 at the end of two quarters. Matt LaFleur.
Fortunately, you know, we built a lead that was too big to overcome.
Aaron Jones rushed for 118 yards and scored three touchdowns. Jordan Love.
It was huge. You know, I think that was the key for us coming to this game was to run the ball well.
Love threw three TDs with a quarterback rating rating of 157. Romeo Doubs on the Packers' young receiver core.
It's amazing, man, how young we are as a group. I just feel like the most important area is just sticking together.
Up next, the Packers face the 49ers in San Francisco. NBA, the Bucks with an exciting win, 143-142 in overtime in Milwaukee. Damian Lillard with a game-winning three-point shot at the buzzer.
It was like we had the game and they stole it from us, and then, you know, we took it back at the end.
That's Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly cloudy tonight, 6 below, and wind chills at 15 to 20 below. Still cold for Tuesday with a high near 2 degrees, much below normal. Wind chills remain 15 to 25 below zero. 1 below zero for Tuesday night, a high of 9 above on Wednesday.
Right now, it's zero.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Mino and the Mayor in the morning. And the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Now, a guy who washes his hands even after using a towel, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to hour number two of Nightlight on this Monday night. What could be a better night to sit around the radio, old style, and listen to talk about TV and movies? Thanks for being with me. I am Pete Schwabba. We are broadcasting live from the City Deck Landing in Green Bay from our WGBW studios. On the phone with me is comedian Mike Toomey. We spent a good part of the last hour talking about Happy Days, and we could probably keep going if we wanted to, but I'm going to pivot, Mike, because I actually pulled the Captain Kirk scene where they all come in their Fonzie jackets. You don't remember that?
No.
It was a police officer. You know what? Conrad, play it. Let's play that. This is a police trying to run Fonzie out of town, and everybody comes to Fonzie's defense.
Kirk, I thought you were pivoting to Star Trek. No, I get it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and then you're going to have to deal with me, and then there's just going to be another one. Right. You got out of this town, Fonzarelli.
and like, the whole Cunningham family walks in leather jackets and jeans.
Right, and where'd they get the jackets?
Where? Like, yeah, they went out, like, thrifting or something just to have Fonzie's back, but it's, like, the exact same coat. So
they had one in every size, too.
They had one in every size. That's Hollywood wardrobe. That's what they can do. So
Fonzarelli, get out of town, Fonzarelli.
I meant to share these texts when we came back. Mike, our question tonight is, given the bad weather, what are you binge watching? And we got some pretty good texts. Tonight, from the 818, I binge The Crown, The Morning Show, and Bridget. I don't know Bridget. And then from the 920, The Wire. I have friends texting me on my phone, and I'm like, can you just text the number, the 920 number for the station? And they say yes, and then they don't. So I have to read texts off my own phone, which I do. But what are you watching, Mike? What does Mike Toomey watch after a long day at work?
Well, you know, it's funny that you say this because, you know, being that this weekend was rather cold, particularly yesterday, we didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
We binge watched, and you're not going to believe this, but it was Barry. Which Henry Winkler played a cue. That show came and went, and we never watched it. So it's like, let's just watch it. So we watched the whole Barry.
Yeah, he plays an acting teacher.
Winkler, unbelievable.
Yeah. So you liked it?
Yes, very much. Did you like it?
I watched the first season and a half, maybe. When he there's a scene where he kills someone where it lost me a little bit. Because he was a pretty good guy, and I was like, wait a minute. I was kind of rooting for Barry here.
Right.
And then he kind of offs this guy, but that's what he does. His character is a hitman.
Correct.
And I think it was my sister said, stick with it. Trust me. And I meant to, and I just never went back to it. But what are there, like five seasons?
It went five. There were 32 episodes,
okay.
I believe. They were short. They were two. They were 30 minutes long.
Right.
But, I mean, you watched Dexter, right? And you were down with Dexter.
I did not watch Dexter.
Oh, okay.
But didn't he have like an MO of only killing people who deserved it or something like that?
He did.
Yeah.
The people who kind of slipped through the cracks of the law and got away with stuff when everybody knew they were guilty, he kind of took the law into his own hands and just and killed them.
It's a great premise.
Yeah.
But I do like Barry. He's really good. And Henry Winkler's really good, too. He's a great actor.
He's terrific. You know what? You were saying how you got text messages during the break?
Yeah.
I got one from my friend Charles Hayes. Ted McGinley wants to fight me.
You know what you should do? You should hire Ted McGinley to fight himself so you don't have to do it.
And then it's over.
And then it's over. One of them's going to win. Oh, that's so funny. He's a handsome guy, though. What are you going to do? You got
I was watching one of those behind the scenes of the Love Boat show.
Yeah.
And remember how Dr., you know, Adam Bricker, Bernie Coppell used to score.
He's big.
He was totally on the prowl with his short shorts and his tube socks. And they were talking to him. He's like 90 something now.
Oh, wow.
But anyway, they were talking to him and he goes, "Yeah, that Ted McGinley, good looking guy. He's a great athlete. Poor guy." He said like he was like really good at playing tennis and sports and stuff on top of being like ridiculously handsome.
Now, Bernie Coppell, he's not still practicing medicine, is he?
He is my personal physician, Pete.
Okay.
I got a physical from him last week.
Oh, wow. From a 90-year-old.
And
nice work.
It was only then that I found out he wasn't really a doctor.
He had his way with you.
You can't resist him. You watch the show.
It's tough. After the Me Too thing, I don't even know if I want to go there, Mike. have you watched any movies? Any of the potential Oscar movies?
No, I don't believe that I have.
You're a TV guy.
Yeah, you know, I'm just, we just got into these little short series that we can just keep watching day after day. But no, I haven't seen any of the Oscar nominated movies that I know.
So you do the show TV and Me, which I hope you bring back. And now that we've talked about it, I'm sure people are interested. You're kind of a TV, I wouldn't say, you know, I don't want to, I know you dispute if you're a TV expert, but you know a ton about TV. For people who might not know all of the shows you talked about with TV and Me or that you are familiar with, what's a show people could find again and watch and binge watch it?
You know, I think the Andy Griffith Show is one of those ones that like got lost to a generation because it came out in 1960, went for 8 seasons and ran in reruns forever on WGN, you know.
Yeah.
Cable, local, nationwide. And then they stopped running it. And then it just kind of, you can see it on like the MeTV or a few of these rerun channels. And it holds up really well. You know, again, we keep bringing back the whole Happy Days, but you know, Ronnie Howard is absolutely, absolutely brilliant. Like he is probably, if you had to pick one child actor in a TV series who really was believable and good and convincing and likable, it's Ronnie Howard.
He was great. And I got to be honest, I never watched. That's one I should find because I would turn it on. And I, as a kid or in my teens or early 20s, it just never did anything for me then. But mm-hmm. given the climate in our country right now and how polarized we are and everything, the Andy Griffith Show just seems like a warm blanket. You know what I mean? Like it Absolutely. Seems like a show I should probably find. And if you haven't watched it, there you go. That's from a guy who really knows TV. Check out the Andy Griffith Show. Mike, one of these days when you come back, we have to talk about stand-up comedy because that's how I met you. And I always want to ask you about road stories. And I haven't had a chance to. We just run out of time. But the next time you're here, we have to talk about some road stories. And I'll tell you about my talk with Mike Schmidt on the air last week, which was really fun.
Mike is the best.
He's so funny. He told the story about when he played hooky and stayed at his friend's house and the mom came home. Yeah. He's hiding in the shower while she's using the restroom.
My God. I know.
And
you can almost hear the music playing in the background.
Oh my gosh. And he's talking about that. And that story took him 8 minutes. Like that was a whole segment. And I had like 18 other stories I wanted to ask him about. So sure. I might have to have him on once a week. It was so funny. But anyway, I appreciate you staying up a little later, Mike. Thanks so much for your time tonight. And yeah, we'll talk soon, buddy.
Fun. You got it, Pete.
All right. See you, Mike.
See you.
So that's Mike Toomey. I spent way too much time on Happy Days. Maybe not too much, but more than I had allotted or more than I envisioned. with Mike Toomey. That was fun. And we didn't even get, Conrad, we didn't even get to the clip.
Yeah, we didn't yet.
But we'll save it.
Yeah.
Because if Jim Healy gets mad at me during the interview and tells me to take a hike, then we can play that clip. Let's just save. Let's keep it in the bullpen.
All right, sounds good.
I don't envision that happening. I'm just saying let's just hold on to it because you never know. We got a few more texts here. What have you been, given the weather, given the snow and the now the ridiculous cold, what are you binge watching? And this is from the 920. Fool Me Once on Netflix. Conrad, that's your mom.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's an interesting story. My son and I almost watched that. We clicked play on Fool Me Once and watched about 2 minutes of it, and I cannot remember why we turned it off. Like, we read the synopsis, and I thought it sounded really cool. So I'll go back to it. It wasn't because we didn't like it or anything. And your mom likes it, so that's good. Again, from the 818. Her name was Bridget. Okay.
Yes.
It's like, Bridget, I haven't heard of that show. And here's from the 818. Again, Lioness is binge-worthy, too. I agree with that. That's a Taylor Sheridan show. And Taylor Sheridan, for those of you who don't know, he created Yellowstone. He wrote the Sicario movies. He wrote Hell or High Water. When he brings his A-game as a great writer, but he signed like a 12-picture deal or 12-show deal, I think with Lionsgate or one of the studios, and he is churning out shows, and like half of them are really good, and the other half are like, he obviously had to farm it out. But I liked Lioness a lot. I thought it was great. Zoe Saldana, great text. So you'll have to ask your mom, Conrad, why she likes Fool Me Once, because I would like a mini review from Paula Krieger, if she wouldn't mind doing that.
Sounds good.
Yeah, okay. So what else did we have? Did we get to our commercial? We did that. Okay. So that's our question tonight, folks. What are you binge-watching? Given the very cold weather, the very snowy weather, this is binge-watching season. The holidays were like, you know, spring training, and now we are in full-blown binge-watching season. So let us know what you're watching, 920-264-0606, and let us know what you're binge-watching, movies or TV. As I mentioned, Jim Healy's going to be here in just a couple minutes to talk movies. We finished the Golden Globes last week. The Oscar nominations are right around the corner. I'm finally catching up on my movie watching, so I'm excited to have Jim here because he's always light years ahead of me with what he's watching, but I feel like I can at least hang with them on a couple of titles tonight. And the Emmys are happening tonight. We'll talk about those more in detail tomorrow. There's some pretty good shows. I've seen most of the Emmy shows. Jeff Bridges is nominated for The Old Man, which I liked. It's one of those shows, The Old Man, that, in my opinion, can't really follow itself. It starts strong. Like, the first three episodes are like, oh, my God, I love this. And then once the big reveal is out and you realize this guy's got a pass, it kind of meanders a little bit. There's like four actors, I think, from Succession, three males, and then Sarah Snook from Succession. She's nominated as well. Four actors from the best actor categories. Best drama series, Better Call Saul, The Crown, House of the Dragon, The Last of Us, Succession, The White Lotus, I assume season two, and Yellow Jackets. Best limited series, Beef, Dahmer, Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story on Netflix, Daisy Jones and the Six, have not seen it. Fleshman is in Trouble on FX, and Obi-Wan Kenobi on Disney. You're a Disney fan, right, Conrad?
I am, yeah. I really like that show.
Is that the most recent one?
No, they actually came out with season three of The Mandalorian.
Very good. All right. Well, we'll get into that maybe tomorrow after we find out who the winners are. Jim Healy's coming up next with some movie talk. I'm Pete Schwabe. You are listening to Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
We all have someone we love, like the favorite lyric in our favorite song. You can't imagine life without them. Cancer screening tests can help keep the person you love around longer by detecting changes before cancer develops, or catch it early when it may be easier to treat. And many tests are available for free or covered by insurance. It's time to sound like a broken record. Tell all your friends and family, I love you. Get screened. Visit cancer.org/getscreened to learn more.
think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Welcome back. We are in hour number two of Nightlight. Thanks for being with me. I'm Pete Schwabe, and we are talking movies and TV like we do very often here. I am really excited to welcome my next guest, who watches probably more movies in a year than most of us watch in our entire lives. And he has to. It's part of his job, but he also loves movies. Jim Healy joins me now. Jim, how are you?
Hey, Pete. I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for joining me here tonight. I know we're in the thick kind of movie season. Before we start with movies, Jim, are you a TV guy too?
Not too much. Okay. I keep up with some things. I just watched, I just canceled my Apple TV. It's because I wasn't watching it, but I made sure to watch with my family season two of Schmigadoon last weekend.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Which is a pastiche of American musicals. Season one is like 50s stuff, like Hammerstein and, you know, Rodgers and Hammerstein musicals, yeah. And Lerner and Lowe stuff, like Brigadoon and Carousel and, you know, all of those. And then the season two is... like late 60s, 70s stuff, like darker stuff, like Bob Fosse stuff and Candor and Ebb. And it's Cecily Strong and Keegan-Michael Key play this couple who go to this magical town where life is a musical and it changes between the two seasons. Oh, it's a fun show. Barry Sonnenfeld directed most of the episodes of season one. And, you know, he's a great cinematographer than director of movies, and so I was kind of interested in that, but it was fun.
I don't know how I didn't know what that was about, because I've heard the title Schmigadoon. How did I not make that leap that it was? So before we start, Jim, with the movie talk, I have to play something for you. I'm going to see if you can guess what TV show this clip is from.
Okay.
All right, go ahead, Conrad. It's just animal noises for like the first 20 seconds, so bear with me.
Cool it!
Oh, the music probably gave it away if the
catchphrase. Yeah, was that Happy Days?
It was Happy Days. That was Fonzie, who can tell even other species to when he's had enough. You know, it's. Were you a Happy Days fan?
Yeah, back in the day, sure. I remember starting to watch it, you know, right when it started to air. But it seems to me like I was always watching it, and then Laverne and Shirley and all that stuff back then. Yeah,
it aired for the first time 50 years ago today. So
I saw the headline on that.
Yeah. It's crazy, but let's get into some movies. So, okay. So you said you watched, I'll try not to double up on the questions. If I ask you something I asked you a few weeks ago when you were here, I apologize, but,
no, it's all right.
You watched 468 movies this year, Jim, and it was like 7-something last year. What happened?
Right. Take on a home project or something? Something last year. It's been dipping down a lot. So that's 468 movies that were new to me that I had never seen before.
Okay.
And I have this thing I've started doing probably since, you know, the COVID lockdowns, is I've been accumulating DVDs and Blu-rays for decades, and a lot of them are still in a plastic shrink wrap.
Oh, wow.
And these are movies these are movies I've seen and know, and I want to have, you know, as part of my collection. But, you know, it's been like years since I've seen these movies and opened up the Blu-ray. So I've started to crack them open. So last year I saw 468 movies that were new to me, but I also saw another 200 or so, you know, that are favorites that I'd seen before, things we showed at the Cinematheque.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and a few movies I went to see a second time. So I probably saw close to 700.
Jeez, that's crazy.
All told. Yeah, well, you know, it's a living.
It's what you do. Yeah, absolutely. So I should mention, I think I did last time, but you are the program director of the Wisconsin Film Festival, and that is due in large part to why you watch so many movies.
Yeah, Mike King is now the artistic director. I'm just a kind of contributing programmer now. I was the director of programming for 10 years. I'm still the director of programming of the Cinematheque, and we have an ongoing repertory and new film program to which Mike is a contributing programmer there as well. So we're showing, you know, new things all the time. It used to be kind of like the place on campus where you could see repertory series of movies. You know, you want to see every movie Jean-Luc Godard directed, you know, we'd run them in a season or something like that. We do a lot of that programming still, but, you know, in the way, with all the movie houses that have shut down in Madison and the way so many films are getting limited distribution, we've become, our screenings have become, you know, the only screenings that, you know, some of these major films will get in nice. Madison, you know.
All right. Is Cinematheque open to the public?
It is, and everything's okay. Free.
Really?
So anybody can come, and all of our Cinematheque screenings are free.
Well, I highly recommend, if you're listening and you're in the Madison area, Cinematheque has such a great, I love the screen. I love the room. It's kind of outdated, but it just feels, it's like, I think I said in my blog last year for PBS, it smells like the movies. Like you're in there and it's just, you can smell the film almost. It's such a great venue to see a movie. And the films they put on at Cinematheque are outstanding. So if you're in the Madison area, I highly recommend it. I did not know they were free either. That makes it even more enticing.
Yeah, well, thanks. It's, you know, it's a smaller room compared to, you know, some of these big barn recliner seat multiplexes, you know. And the seats are, we've got a lot of seats in there because it serves as a classroom for the university, you know, several days a week during the day. Yeah. But in terms of projection and stuff, we're pretty state of the art. We have, you know, all the most up-to-date digital projection, and we show 35 millimeter film and 16 millimeter film. We do digital 3D. So we're not out of date as far as that goes. We can show just about anything.
And that was not a shot in any way. I love being in that room, and it just has a kind of a days of yore or a retro feel to it, which is how I like to look at movies anyway, you know.
Me too.
So we got to take a quick break, Jim, but when I come back, we'll get into the movie talk for this year, and you can talk to us a little bit about, I don't know how far you are along in the programming for this year's Wisconsin Film Festival. We can talk about that too when we come back, if you can hang with us for just a couple of minutes here. My guest is Jim Healy. He is a movie, let's call you a movie guru, Jim. We'll be right back with Jim to get his thoughts on all things movies. This is Pete Schwabe. You're listening to Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The cameraman is a cocktail glass behind a blend of plastic plants. Find the lady with the fat diamond ring. Then you know I can't remember a damn thing. I think it's one of those deja vu things. Or a train is trying to tell me something. But will I ever stop thinking about it? I don't know. I doubt it. Subterranean by design. I wonder what I would find if I met you. Let my eyes caress you until I meet the thought of Mrs. Princess who. Most I wonder what makes her work. I guess I'll leave that question to the experts. Assuming that there are some out there, they're probably alone. Solitaire. I can remember when I caught up with a pastime intimate friend. She said, but you're probably gonna say I look lovely.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
This is a special report from ABC News, the Iowa caucuses. I'm Chuck Sievertson. ABC News projects, based on entrance polls, that former President Trump will win the Iowa Republican caucuses. No indication who's second, Nikki Haley or Ron DeSantis. Preliminary Iowa exit polling, ABC's Andy Field.
The poll showing 88% of Republican Iowa voters consider themselves conservative. They told pollsters their top issues this year were immigration and the economy. Foreign policy and abortion far behind. The biggest number, 65% of Iowa Republicans say Joe Biden did not win in 2020. About the same number saying Donald Trump would still be fit for office even if he's convicted of a crime.
Once criticizing Mr. Trump as a rival for the Republican nomination, now endorsing him, North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum.
He's the person that is the can lead this country in the right direction on the economy, on energy, national security, and I think you're going to see that come through loud and clear tonight.
This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wuggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has seven sets of proposed maps to consider as new boundaries for legislative districts are to be put in place by mid-March. They come from the governor and from Republicans, Democrats, college professors, and partisan law firms. The High Court ordered new maps in a landmark ruling in December. Public health experts say misinformation is contributing to a dangerous decline in vaccination rates in Wisconsin. Dr. Monica Wang is with Boston University's School of Public Health. She says lies about vaccines spread faster than the truth.
Health misinformation spread can erode trust in healthcare systems. It can lead to people delaying when they go to a doctor to seek help.
At the same time, cases of COVID, flu, and RSV are in the rise in Wisconsin. I'm Nate Wuggehout, Civic Media News.
Valentine's Day is here. This year, give the ultimate gift. Name a star after your sweetheart. This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Registry. For 45 years, we've named millions of stars for celebrities, dignitaries, and individuals worldwide. For $59 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com, you can give the most memorable gift. The star you name will be recorded in book form in the U.S. Copyright Office. Visit starregistry.com or call 800-282-3333.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly cloudy tonight, 6 below, and wind chills at 15 to 20 below. Still cold for Tuesday with a high near 2 degrees, much below normal. Wind chills remain 15 to 25 below zero. 1 below zero for Tuesday night, a high of 9 above on Wednesday.
Right now, it's zero.
There are 1,000 ways to say it.
Nope. Knock it off. Shut it down. Dream on. No dice. Give it a rest, not a chance.
Or just
all text. You focus on the road.
As a passenger, you have the power to prevent an accident. There are 1,000 ways to stop a distracted driver. Choose one.
A message from CTIA.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW. It's fully leaded education talk.
Hard facts with a humorous twist.
Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW, and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder, metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Life is sweet as honey. Yeah, this beach chain.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Nightlight. We are talking movies with Jim Healy. We got a couple texts here from the 414. With me, it's all things true crime. Okay. That's a good one. And then Conrad's mom got back to us with, and she elaborated and just said it's sort of a page turner of a TV show, if you will. It was intriguing. Kept you waiting to watch the next episode. Tomorrow night on the show, writer-producer of The Bridge to Terabithia, David Patterson, will be here with me tomorrow night. We'll talk movies. He's got a new film coming out. I'm always excited to talk to Dave. He's a great guy and a very talented guy. And I'm talking with a really talented guy, Jim Healy. Jim, thanks for sticking around. Sure. So the first movie, the last time you were here, I had not seen Killers of the Flower Moon. And I finally saw, I started it a week ago and I finished it a couple hours ago with two lunch breaks in there. It was long, but a great film.
So you watched it on Apple TV?
Yeah. I did not get to see it in the theaters, and it was gone. Like where I live, things don't, anything that's really good does not stick around that long, unfortunately. I ordered Apple TV because it was $5.99. I used to have it. And then I canceled it for the same reasons you did. And then I thought, well, I got to get it now because I could buy the movie for $20 or I can get Apple TV for $5.99 and cancel it. So that's what I did.
Yeah, I almost watched Killers of the Flower Moon again this weekend before my thing expired just to watch it. But I didn't watch it for the same reason you were splitting up, because I didn't have another 3.5 hours. Right. I went to see it opening day here in Madison, and I went for a very long run that morning so I could dehydrate myself. not have to get up and use the bathroom in the middle of the movie. But I was successful.
Well done.
And the movie just riveted me. I was just, you know.
Yeah, I wanted to get your thoughts. I remember you kind of touched on it a couple weeks ago, but I had no idea it was based on a nonfiction book. And that to me made it, I mean, it was incredible. I didn't even know about the story. And they kept drawing a parallel between what happened with Tulsa like 100 years ago. So I found it fascinating. And did you like it better? Scorsese's last outing was also quite long. The Irishman, how did you compare it to that in terms of?
Ooh, yeah. Well, you know, I guess The Irishman, you know, is like almost like, you know, good comfort food, because it's Scorsese in his, you know, in his quote unquote lane, you know,
yeah,
you know, making gangster films and working with those same actors, and, you know, and kind of almost like a summation of all of the, you know, like Mean Streets and Goodfellas and Casino up to that point.
Right.
And, you know, but there were some things in Killers of the Flower Moon that I thought were just like audacious in terms of filmmaking that he never did before, especially the ending, you know. I think, you know, maybe the temptation was to bring it all around to a cinematic thing, because, you know, if you there's a movie from the late 50s called The FBI Story with James Stewart that Mervyn LeRoy directed. It's a Warner Brothers film, and it's this really like pro FBI film. I think the real Hoover like actually introduces the film, the real Hoover, like he appears on film, but it's like James Stewart is this amalgam, you know, of FBI agents who goes through like all of their most famous cases. So, you know, when they capture Pretty Boy Floyd and, you know, and, but the first big FBI case was the, you know, what happened to the Osage Indians in the late 20s and the early 30s. And that was, you know, one of the first things that Hoover sent out field men, and, you know, and they were able to, you know, get into the community there.
That was interesting. And they called themselves, they said they were from the Federal Bureau. It wasn't the FBI yet, I don't even think.
Right, or yeah. just the Bureau, right? Or the Bureau, yeah. Federal Bureau, yeah.
Federal Bureau.
Right, and when Jesse Plemons knocks on the door, he goes, I'm from the Federal Bureau. Right?
Jesse Plemons, I don't know what it is about that guy. I love him. Everything he's in, when he goes on screen, I'm just like, I'm so glad Jesse Plemons is in this movie before he even says a word.
So good.
He's great.
He's so good. Yeah, I love him too.
Yeah, what did you think? Leonardo DiCaprio, okay, I was pretty successful with this movie. I knew the gist of the story. But I didn't know much about his character. I figured right away, De Niro kind of establishes himself as the bad guy. He was great too, by the way. It was one of my favorite performances from Robert De Niro. But Leonardo DiCaprio, I kept waiting for him to have this revelation, his character. And he kind of did toward the end, but it was very anti-heroic in any way. It was an odd choice for him as an actor. He kind of plays a half-wit. It was interesting. What did you think about that?
Absolutely. Yeah, I've heard people compare him to... I thought he was doing a Brando thing with Judd, you know, sticking his jaw.
Yeah, right.
Brando played his share of, you know, dimwits in his day.
True.
But I've also heard people compare him to Billy Bob Thornton in Sling Blade too, you know, as a kind of a one note, you know. But I think that was the idea. I think, you know, this guy, you know, was just, is it the much more interesting part to play? And I think that's what really hooked both Scorsese and DiCaprio to do it, because they were working on it for a while, where he was going to play the Jesse Plemons part. Where he was going to, and then the whole script was, you know, built around the FBI coming in there. But they, you know, they wanted to make the Osage characters, you know, more central to the story, and so they figured, you know, the really centerpiece were the characters that Lily Gladstone plays and her husband, who's played by DiCaprio. And so the whole thing was rewritten so that DiCaprio would be this guy. And I think it was just, you know, much more interesting to play. And I think that was the big hook for Scorsese too, because then it became not only emblematic of, you know, White's relations with the Indians in Oklahoma, but also, you know, on a whole, you know, national level. But also, I think that element of the story of the, you know, of this marriage that's, you know, a complete betrayal on every level.
Yeah.
Kind of reminded him of like 40s thrillers, like, you know, a few Hitchcock films like Suspicion and movies like Gaslight, you know, and things like that, where, you know, husband is, you know, actively trying to, you know,
undermine.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
undermine is a polite betrayal way. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not, you know, hopefully I'm not spoiling the movie for anybody, but, you know, I think that was what was interesting to DiCaprio, was like, okay, so on what level does he really love this woman,
right?
You know, on other levels, is he just an idiot, you know, doing the bidding of his uncle, you know?
But because you do get the sense that he did love her. It was just came out in his performance. It was great. My guest is Jim Healy. We're talking movies, more specifically Killers of the Flower Moon right now. Lily Gladstone was excellent. Talk about great screen presence. She, one of those actors that doesn't have to do anything and she's intoxicating to watch, you know?
Yes.
She was great. DiCaprio was
very
great.
Real.
Yeah. I didn't know anything about her. I don't even know her background. I usually, when I find someone new I like, I Google them and I'm like, I haven't even had time to do that yet. But she was excellent.
I've seen her in a couple of films that were directed by Kelly Riker, which is one film called Certain Women, where she has a long scenes with, is it Laura Dern? No, I can't remember, but it's some, Laura Dern, Michelle Williams are in that film, and there's another, it's Kristen Stewart. She has long scenes with Kristen Stewart.
Oh, okay.
And it's really good. She was in a Western, another Western that Kelly Riker did called First Cow. She had a smaller part in that, but good. I'd seen her before. So when I heard she was cast, I thought that was great. Cause I read the book too.
Yeah. And a lot of people say she'll be nominated too for, an Oscar. Which would be well-deserved. Where do you rank this, Jim, on the because I what you said earlier was interesting. I like Scorsese stayed in his lane with The Irishman. Love his movies about mobs. He's about the mob. But you forget he's a great director regardless of what you know, slice of life he's the story is about. Where do you rank this for him in terms of his films? Well,
I'm glad you asked, because, you know, Scorsese meant everything to me, you know, as I was becoming a big cinephile and movie lover. I mean, you know, it was maybe in my mind, you know, before I was in my 30s, maybe the greatest director who ever lived.
Yeah.
And then something happened starting around Casino, which is a movie I liked, but I felt like, well, it was kind of a return to the same territory as Goodfellas. So it wasn't anything totally, it wasn't a milestone for me. But for the next 20 years or so, I found myself feeling half-hearted about a lot of his movies, some of which I've gone back to and enjoyed. So The Departed didn't do much for me the first time I saw it. I watched it again on Netflix recently. I was like, it's a good thriller. It's solid. It's not as memorable as something like Goodfellas or Taxi Driver or even Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore, which I think is great. But things like Hugo, which people were raving over, first time I saw it, I wasn't crazy, but I saw it again recently, and I think it's pretty good. It's certainly an impressive feat of directing. You can never fault him for doing something ambitious.
Right.
For a low point for him the last 15 years or so was Shutter Island, which I think is a movie he himself has said he was far off the bullseye on. It was just like a bloated thriller, might have been nice at like a 90-minute kind of thing, but it was, it just felt like it was, way too much to be that kind of movie. And
yeah,
he started to really come back for me, and I really, really liked these last. I like Silence quite a bit, and I really like these last two, The Irishman and Killers of the Flower Moon. I put them up there. I mean, I thought The Irishman was really great. I know a lot of people, a lot of big diehard Scorsese fans that maybe don't rank it as high, but I thought it was terrific. But Killers is just, I mean, you just got to give it to the guy for, just keeping you completely riveted
right.
for 3.5 hours and presenting you this piece of history. And, nobody makes movies with this kind of production design anymore. I mean, the period is so meticulously recreated, and the sets and the art direction and the costumes.
Yeah.
The sense of music, it's oftentimes just some of that original Robbie Robertson stuff, which I liked, but, the songs he picks are, right on the money. And then his just, as always, his sense of casting is great. I mean, there's so many parts in Killers of the Flower Moon, but so many memorable little parts, kind of like Goodfellas, you remember every little,
right.
every little character. I love that guy who played the, Gene Jones, who played the, he was like a local administrator, but he also is the head of the local clan.
He was in No Country for Old Men. He played the gas station owner.
The gas station guy. Yeah.
Coin toss. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was, Javier Bardem says, "You married into this?" But he was great. Yeah, I love, there's certain character actors I just love, but I want to comment on what you said. Like, yeah, The Departed, I'm with you. It was almost like, it was like Scorsese porn, way too many big actors in it. Like if there was one or two, I probably would have liked it more, but I kept thinking, wow, what a cast the whole time. Instead of watching the movie, I loved Casino because I had read a lot of Chicago mob books and I knew about Anthony Spilotro and those. So yeah. I thought that was good, but I totally get what you're saying. And it's not at the level Goodfellas was, but yeah, this was one of my favorite, and talking to you, Jim, as always, I realize I have a couple more Scorsese films to see, but, I put it right up there. And all right, so when we come back,
have you seen Mean Streets lately?
Maybe 5 years ago I started it, but I didn't get, I don't know why I turned it off. I love the movie, but
Go back again.
Yeah.
I just watched it recently. It's so great.
Oh, cool. All right, so Jim Healy is with me. We have a 60-second break. Don't go anywhere. We're going to talk about, I want to ask you about Anatomy of a Fall when we come back. Jim Healy's here. Pete Schwab is here because I'm the host of Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Since I met this little woman, I feel it's happened to me. And I'm telling you, it's too late to turn back now. I believe, I believe, I believe I'm falling in love. It's too late to turn back now. I believe, I believe, I believe I'm falling in love. I found myself phoning her at least 10 times a day.
You're
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
If you're looking forward to getting out on the bay or lake to ice fish or snowmobile, colder temperatures are here, but consider this.
Well, in a normal winter, starting sometimes Thanksgiving, ice starts to form. This year, we are a full 5-6 weeks behind our ice making.
That's Tom Derzwicki from Bayside Ice and Recovery in Suamico. He's been rescuing people and their trucks after falling through thin ice for more than 20 years.
The snow and the slush will cover up some bad spots. If you're on a pressure crack and you see snow and slush, you know, that crack, it appears to be maybe a foot, 2 feet wide, but on each side of that crack, you could have 10, 15 feet of bad ice on each side of that crack.
DNR officials say check with locals who know the conditions, but also know ice safety is never 100%.
Mother Nature doesn't care. If you're falling through, you're falling through.
300,000 people ice fish in Wisconsin. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Welcome back. We're in the home stretch of hour number two here. Nightlight on a Monday, a Green Bay Monday. Seriously, folks, what could be better than spending a freezing cold night just talking movies and TV? Thanks for being with me tonight. Jim Healy is my guest. We are talking movies, and I just want to put a button on the Scorsese, Jim, before we move on. I know the movie's long, and it is long, and it's probably a little too long for my taste, but I kept telling myself, who knows how many more movies Martin Scorsese has in him. Just enjoy every second that you're watching on the screen. That's what I kept telling myself. And it was just great. I want to move on. Go ahead.
And then he puts his own button on it at the end and gives you that incredible ending with the radio play, you know, which that's what I was trying to say earlier, is that I think maybe he was thinking about ending it with the FBI story, that Jimmy Stewart movie, and kind of making it, but instead he came up with this thing with the radio play that is just.
And he was good. He was very heartfelt in his performance, even though it was brief. Yes. It was great, you know.
Yep.
And I'm not surprised. So, Anatomy of a Fall. You mentioned this last time. It's on your list of movies you saw this year. Not your top 10, but it's in your top 23. I got to tell you, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this movie is so hyped, and it was good, but it was one of those movies that was so hyped that when I saw it, I was like, yeah, it's a nice movie. I think it was something about the aesthetic I just didn't like. It wasn't beautifully shot. I mean, there were some beautiful shots in the film, but the kid was great. But again, I thought that could have been 30 minutes shorter too. Am I wrong?
Well, I don't know about shorter. I don't remember being bored with it. But the kid is great, and the dog is great too, right? What a performance, the dog. Right. But but here's what I say about it, because you mentioned the aesthetic, and to me, this is the thing that I really enjoyed about it, is, you know, right away with the title Anatomy of a Fall, I'm thinking Anatomy of a Murder.
And right.
I think there are comparisons to be made to that film. Which is an Otto Preminger film, and Preminger's style altogether, because I think there's this kind of absence of aesthetic. It's a it's very straightforward. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the only music we hear in the film is the song the husband is playing in the opening scene, right?
Yeah, it's rare.
And there's the little commentary. It's very straightforward, and that allows for a lot of ambiguity. You know, it allows us to kind of look straight at it and you know, make up our mind at any given time about who this character is, what she's done, and you know, what happened that we didn't see. And it changes throughout the film because it keeps that aesthetic, that kind of objective, you know, almost clinical aesthetic. And I really appreciated that. I was really moved by that, and that kind of, you know, had me thinking about it and talking about it with other people you know, for days after I saw
it. It's one of the heavy hitters this year for sure. All right, so we have a few more minutes, Jim. I have to ask you, I saw Saltburn this weekend. What a bizarre film. What did you see, and what were your thoughts on it?
I watched it just before the year ended, and I was not bored.
I'm, no, me either.
It's really gross. It kind of like yes. There are multiple repulsive sequences, but that's not what keeps you watching. There's kind of, you know, the performances are good, and it's an odd story, but you know, like in the end, like what it all comes down to just seems kind of like, I don't know, like middle class people are parasites, you know? Is that what the movie's trying to say?
Oh, that's interesting.
That they're vampires? Because the director has said, like, you know, oh, I see it as a vampire movie. And I don't know. I mean, it's kind of like, it seems like a big defense for, you know, extremely wealthy Oxford graduates, you know?
That's interesting. I would have gone the other way and said that he had a thing where he doesn't like rich people, the director, but, or the writer, but yeah, that's interesting to look at it, how you just said that. And I think you're right. I think it is very, there's a lot of gross scenes, but it kept my interest. And I, and it's because of the lead actor. I think his face, it's like the whole time I'm watching, I'm like, something's going to happen here. You know, like I knew very little about it going in, but I'm like, what? They're either going to torture this kid or something's going to happen. It went in a direction I did not think it was going to. And I'm with you. That's all I'll say. I don't want to do spoilers, but I was not bored either. So what's the best movie you saw this year, Jim, that you could recommend to people? We got about 2 minutes.
I saw The Holdovers 3 times.
I got to see that still.
I know a lot of people are, you know, catching up with it. I think it's on Peacock now.
It's in
some theaters, I think. But, you know, so I got to go with that one. But just after Christmas, I saw The Iron Claw. And I haven't been that emotionally affected by a movie in a long, long time.
Everybody is saying that. I have to see that. And The Holdovers. I'm still playing catch up here, but all right. Yeah, so those are great. Two.
That was good. And one more, Fallen Leaves, which is a Finnish movie by Aki Kaurismäki, which I think was up for a bunch of Golden Globes last weekend. But man, just great. I saw that after the new year, so it didn't show up on my list. But
can you stream all of those? Do you know? I know you said Holdovers. You could.
Holdovers now. I don't think of the other two, but probably pretty soon.
Okay, that's fantastic. Well, you'll have to come back when we get to either right before or right after we see the Oscars. And I think you feel kind of the same way I do about award shows, but they are fun to talk about. So.
Yeah, ask me before because I probably won't be watching it.
Okay.
I can comment on the nominees. You
know? Fair enough. Jim, always so much fun. Love your insights. And yeah, thanks so much. We'll do it again soon, I hope.
Anytime, Pete.
All right. That's Jim Healy. He is he is the programmer and a huge cinephile and the program director for Cinematheque in Madison, which I just found out tonight is free. Check it out. If you love movies, they show phenomenal films and you just can't go wrong. Tomorrow night, as I mentioned, David Patterson, he's the writer-director for The Bridge to Terabithia. He will be here tomorrow night with me, at least in spirit and over the and online. So David will be great. I'd like to thank my guest tonight, Mike Toomey. Some serious Happy Days talk and some serious fun movie talk with Jim Healy. And I got nothing else, folks. Thanks for being with me tonight. It's going to be another fun show tomorrow night. Join me. Good night, Wisconsin.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Looking at issues through a politically purple lens.
The Rational Revolution with Chris Elfheim. Thursday nights at 7 on the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.